Narottam. Narottam was then introduced to all the great scholars there. Sri Raghava Pandit, who had been living at Govardhan, was extremely happy to see Narottam. Srinivas and Narottam finished their travels to all the sacred spots, then reported back to Sri Jiva Goswami. Without delay, Sri Jiva Goswami happily began educating Narottam. During his studies, Narottam won the hearts of all with his sensitive and scholastic explanations. Who can understand the heart of Narottam? His service attitude towards Lokanath Goswami was beyond compare, and Lokanath Goswami was extremely pleased with his beloved disciple. One day, observing Narottam's eagerness, Lokanath fulfilled Narottam's long-cherished desire and initiated him into the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Everyone in Vrindavan was greatly impressed by the depth of Narottam's understanding of devotional scriptures. Thus, to everyone's pleasure, Sri Jiva Goswami conferred upon Narottam the title of Sri Thakur Mahasaya. All the Mahantas were filled with joy, and Narottam's fame rapidly spread throughout Rajapur. The practice of Manasa Seva in Vrindavan was first started by Narottam. This episode has been described in Bhakti Ratnakara. Please listen attentively as I describe how Narottam again returned to Goda. I, Narahari Das, continue the narration of Sri Narottam Vilas. The Third Vilas. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, and all the devotees. Please bestow your mercy upon me. All glories to the listeners who are an ocean of mercy. Now listen attentively as I continue my narration. After consulting with all the Mahantas of Braj, Sri Jiva Goswami determined an auspicious date for sending the Goswami's manuscripts to Goda. Previously, the Lord himself had predicted that these books would be distributed far and wide. Thus, Sri Jiva handed over all the precious manuscripts to Srinivasacharya, who was responsible for carrying them to Goda. In this regard, Sri Thakur Mahasaya composed one famous shloka. When shall I see the abode of mercy, Sri Chaitanya Dev, who has distributed his power in two ways? He invested Sri Roop and others with the power to write devotional books, wherein priceless treasures of spiritual knowledge shine like brilliant jewels. And he has empowered Srinivas to circulate them. Thus I worship the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Dev, who has manifested these two powerful mediums to shower his mercy upon this world. Sri Jiva Goswami's knowledge and devotion was deeper than millions of oceans. Although his outward expression was most stable, inwardly he was extremely emotional and greatly perturbed at the thought of separation from Narottam and Srinivas. Nevertheless, he calmly helped Srinivas to say goodbye to everyone and gave him his blessings to start for Goda at an auspicious moment. With great affection, Lokanath Goswami handed over his dear disciple Narottam to the hands of Srinivas. Again and again he instructed Narottam, always remember to serve the deity and dedicate your life to spreading the Sankirtan movement. Narottam happily accepted these instructions as his life and soul, and Srinivas accepted the charge of Narottam jubilantly. Putting Shamananda and Narottam under the care of Srinivas, Sri Jiva Goswami said, from now on these boys are yours. He ordered Shamananda, first go to Goda, then travel to Utkala via Sri Ambikapuri. This is elaborately described in Bhakti Ratnakara. Thus taking the blessings of all the Mahantas, they started their long journey to Goda. The carts filled with the priceless treasure of books moved ahead, and 11 armed guards from Braj followed behind. With a disturbed mind, Sri Jiva Goswami accompanied the party to Mathura. The residents of Mathura greeted them ecstatically, and they rested there for the night. Their departure the following morning, however, was a pathetic scene. No one could bear to see them go. After a long journey, Srinivas, Narottam, and Shamananda finally reached Goda Mandala and headed through the woods in the direction of Vani Vishnupur. In the midst of the forest, they came upon a village where they decided to halt for the night. Generally, they were extremely cautious about protecting the books at night. However, on this night, due to the desire of the Lord, they all fell sound asleep. Meanwhile, the local king, Vira Hambira, had received a report that many carts filled with jewels carried by a number of wealthy persons had arrived in their village. Hearing this, the enthusiastic king at once sent a team of dacoits to rob them. The dacoits easily robbed the treasures and carried them to the king. Without even opening the trunks, the king was suddenly overwhelmed with awe and bowed to the ground again and again. Bewildered, the king exclaimed, "Oh, what has happened to me? What kind of jewels are in these trunks?" Saying this, the king began to weep inexplicably. In this way, the goddess of devotion transcendentally tricked the king. Feeling uncertain about the robbery, the king secretly opened the trunks and found the books. Repentant, he cried out, "Alas, alas, what have I done? I don't even know who the gentlemen are whom I have hurt. If I am fortunate enough to meet them, I shall certainly seek their refuge and return their books." Sitting alone in a secluded place, the king lamented in this way. In the morning when Srinivas and his party awoke, they were horrified to find that the precious lifelong works of the Goswamis had been stolen by dacoits. The miserable scene which then ensued was too heartbreaking to describe. Throwing themselves on the ground, they cried out loud in utter despair. They were unable to pacify one another. A long time passed in heated lamentations until Srinivas calmed himself down and tried to pacify the others. On our long journey, we passed safely through many dangerous places, but here we accidentally fell asleep and everything has been easily stolen. There must be some hidden purpose behind this incident. Sri Thakur Mahasaya also took heart and privately said, "This must be a divine arrangement to show special mercy to this country." At that time, an oracle was suddenly heard in the sky. "Do not worry, the books will soon be recovered." Shortly thereafter, someone whispered to Srinivas, "The king is the real culprit. Go to Vani Vishnupur." Hearing this, Srinivas first consoled his companions and sent a letter to Vrindavan. He requested Sri Thakur Mahasaya to go to Kateri without hesitation and told Shamananda, "Go immediately to Utkala via Sri Kateri. I shall go to Vani Vishnupur and fetch the books. Then I will send you a letter to reassure you that the books have been recovered. Now please don't worry and don't think about anything else." Saying this, he bade farewell to them. It was impossible for them to disobey the order of Sri Acharya, yet they could not conceal their grief when they were about to leave. Together, Narottam and Shamananda traveled to Kateri, but Narottam did not let Shamananda go on to Utkala. In Vani Vishnupur, Srinivas bestowed his mercy upon King Virahamvira, who happily returned the books without hesitation. Later, the king, along with his followers and family, took shelter under the lotus feet of Srinivas and became great devotees. This incident is elaborately described in Bhakti Ratnakara. Relieved and very happy, Sri Acharya Thakur sent word to Vrindavan assuring the devotees that the books had been recovered. He also sent a letter to relieve the minds of Narottam and Shamananda in Kateri. Upon receiving the news, they joyfully raised their hands, singing and dancing ecstatically. Sri Santosh Dutt, the son of Sri Purushottama Dutt, was also jubilant. Santosha was the son of Narottam's uncle and was full of all good qualities. Krishnanandana Dutt had appointed him as the heir to the throne. He was a good and kind-hearted king and gave profuse charity to the brahmanas, scholars, and poor. Sri Thakur Mahasaya happily went to Utkala to Srinivas in Vani Vishnupur. Thereafter, Shamananda took his leave. The parting of Narottam and Shamananda was a pathetic scene. Even the animals and birds cried upon hearing the loving exchange between the two dear friends. Narottam selected an escort to accompany Shamananda to Utkala, and Shamananda began his journey with a heavy heart. Shamananda traveled to Ambika via Navadvip. There he was overwhelmed with ecstatic emotion upon observing the temple of Sri Gaura Nitai. Seeing Shamananda crying helplessly, someone rushed to inform Sri Vidai Chaitanya of Shamananda's arrival. "Your Duki Krishnadas is here. I saw him lying on the ground in front of the temple praying to the Lord with extreme humility. I was completely amazed by the boy's expression of love and devotion. I cannot describe how his eyes incessantly shed tears. Since he did not come to see you, I ran here immediately to inform you of his arrival." Hearing this, Thakur was jubilant and excitedly requested that the men immediately bring Shamananda to see him. "I am eagerly waiting for him," he said. "I am very proud of his devotional service." After taking initiation from me, he lived here for a long time and captured Sri Nitai Chaitanya with the bonds of his love. I affectionately sent him to Vrindavan, where he completed his devotional studies. During that time, he wrote me regularly to inform me of his progress. Understanding his thirst for knowledge, I permitted him to carry on. In Vrindavan, he was so happily engaged in the service of the Nikunj that eventually his name was changed from Duki to Shamananda. Everyone in Vrindavan loves him dearly. He had already written to me that he would be coming here soon. By the desire of Gaura Nitai, he will perform exalted service, which will be acknowledged throughout the world. Mind you, he is my favorite disciple, and I am anxious to see him after such a long time. At that moment, Shamananda appeared on the spot and fell at the feet of his spiritual master. Sri Ridai Chaitanya Thakur affectionately placed his feet on Shamananda's head. When he tried to embrace his disciples, Shamananda shrank away and stood in a distant place. Nevertheless, Thakur grabbed him and embraced him lovingly, then took him to the temple of Mahaprabhu. There he dedicated Shamananda to the feet of Gaura Nitai. Thakur then brought Shamananda to his house and gave him the remnants of his food to eat, which Shamananda happily relished. Thakur eagerly inquired about recent events, and Shamananda pleased his guru with an elaborate description of everything. Shamananda stayed with his spiritual master for a long time, serving him wholeheartedly. However, one day, Ridai Chaitanya said, "Do not delay any longer. You must leave for Utkala at once. The Lord has many plans for you to execute there." Saying this, he brought Shamananda before Gaura Nitai and gave him the garland offered to the deity. After bestowing his blessings upon Shamananda, Ridai Chaitanya bade him farewell. Crying pathetically, Shamananda said goodbye to his spiritual master, who was also unable to hold back his tears. I will not describe Shamananda's journey to Utkala, but I shall mention that along the way, Shamananda freely distributed his mercy and saved many fallen souls from the repetition of birth and death. In Utkala, he accepted many disciples, of which Sri Rashikananda was one. Due to the powerful preaching of Shamananda and his disciples, the whole country became purified. I have elaborately described these incidents in Bhakti Ratnakara. When Shamananda finally reached Utkala, he immediately sent a letter to Sri Thakur Mahasaya to inform him of his safe arrival. Narottam, who had been waiting anxiously to hear from Shamananda, was happy and relieved to receive his letter. He immediately sent the letter on to the devotees in Vani Vishnupura and wrote a reply to Shamananda. Narottam then left Kateri and started for Navadvip, traveling like a maddened elephant, absorbed in a trance of loving ecstasy. A continuous shower of tears streamed down his face, wetting his chest. Everyone who saw him observed his expressions of divine love with astonishment. As he passed through various villages, the residents became enchanted by his presence and followed along behind him. Once he set foot in a village, the inhabitants ran to greet him, swarming around him like bumblebees, and when he left the village, the inhabitants sank into the depths of sorrow. Traveling in this way, he eventually reached the border of Navadvip. Observing the beautiful countryside, he began to lament, "O most merciful Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why have you sent me into this world now? Being unable to witness your divine pastimes in Nadia, I am lost in intense suffering." Thinking in this way, he walked on very slowly, crying pitifully. But to his astonishment, when he entered Navadvip proper, he found that each and every house was full of joy and happiness. In every corner, the loud chanting of "Hari, Hari" resounded. From all directions, men and women eagerly rushed to the house of Sri Chaitanya. There, the Lord and his associates danced ecstatically in sankirtan. Thus, Navadvip was floating in an ocean of happiness. For some time, Narottam enjoyed the vision of this joyous scene, when suddenly everything changed. Again, the city of Nadia was sunk into the depths of despair. Narottam burst out crying, "O Lord, what have I seen?" Narottam sat thoughtfully for some time, then eventually asked the passerby where he could find the house of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. With his head hung down, tears streaming from his eyes, the man replied, "Look over there. That is the house of Mahaprabhu. You can go in this way." Seeing the Lord's house, Narottam began to cry also. At that time, Shukalambar Brahmachari happened to be passing by, and his curiosity was aroused upon seeing Narottam bowed to his feet, and Shukalambar asked, "Who are you?" When Narottam stated his name, Shukalambar immediately broke out in tears and warmly embraced Narottam with deep affection. With a choked voice, he explained to Narottam, when Goda Chandra was absorbed in ecstatic trance in the village of Ramakeli, he lovingly called out your name. At that time, he predicted your arrival here. Who can understand the mystery of the Lord's pastimes? O my son, all the Mahantas, including myself, have been eagerly waiting for you. Actually, Mahaprabhu's disappearance is unbearable for us. Many of the Lord's associates have already left this world due to separation. He then introduced himself to Narottam and brought him to meet all the other remaining devotees of Gauranga. Narottam worshipped everyone's feet and they embraced him. Though they were merged in intense suffering due to separation from the Lord, they immediately felt relief and happiness upon seeing Narottam. They eagerly questioned Narottam about many things, and he happily answered them all. Damodar Pandit and others did not want Narottam to leave them. Thus Narottam stayed in Nadia a few more days in the houses of the favored associates of Mahaprabhu. Narottam was so fortunate that in his dreams he was able to meet those devotees who he had not met there due to their demise. After a few days passed, the devotees reluctantly and with heavy hearts allowed Narottam to leave. They told him sweetly, "Mahaprabhu has kept us alive only to see you, but alas, we will not be able to see Srinivas." Saying this, their voices choked with emotion. With a perturbed mind, Narottam touched everyone's feet and went to Gaurachandra's house for a final visit. There he found even the servants and maidservants of Mahaprabhu on the verge of death due to separation. Seeing Narottam, their misery doubled. Blessing Narottam, they said, "Due to the wish of Mahaprabhu, you will execute his plans and perform wonderful service." Then they bade him farewell. Narottam cried very loudly and fell on the ground in the courtyard of Gauranga. After a long time, he controlled himself and started for Shantipur. Narottam was charmed by the beauty of Shantipur. He went to the house of Advaitacharya and worshipped the feet of Sri Achyutananda, son of Advaita Prabhu. He was very merciful to Narottam and introduced him to all the devotees. Later he ordered Narottam, "Go to Nilachala first, and then come back to your place and begin to popularize kirtan." Saying this, he began to weep and his thin body trembled. Narottam again worshipped the feet of all the devotees and took his leave. Arriving at Harinadi village, he crossed the Ganga and entered Ambika. There he asked someone where he could find the house of Hridaya Chaitanya Pandit and found out that he was not far away. Someone who had seen Narottam pass by rushed ahead to Hridaya Chaitanya and informed him excitedly, "A beautiful young man who is filled with love for Goda Nitai is coming to see you." Sri Hridaya Chaitanya immediately understood that it was none other than his beloved Narottam. Filled with emotion, he ran to the doorstep to welcome his disciple. Narottam fell at the feet of his guru, who tearfully welcomed him, taking him in his lap. He then took Narottam to the temple of Goda Nitai for darshan. Seeing his beloved lord before him, Narottam fell on the ground crying. Hridaya Chaitanya pacified him and gave him the deity's garland. With great affection, Sri Hridaya Chaitanya kept Narottam with him for 2 to 4 days, and then after dedicating him to the feet of Goda Nitai, ordered him to go to Nilachala. All the great Bhagavats, including Sri Hridaya Chaitanya, were deeply aggrieved to see him go. Narottam traveled quickly, eager to reach Kardaha. He became so excited upon entering Kardaha proper that he lost his usual reserve. Mahesh Pandit and others rushed to greet Narottam when they saw him approaching. "We were dying with separation from the Lord," they said, "but now you have come to soothe our aching hearts like a cooling oasis in the desert of misery. We have known about you for a long time and have already heard about your travels to Vrindavan, the stealing of the manuscripts, as well as your visit to Navadvip. We are so happy to finally see you." Saying this, they each introduced themselves, and Narottam tearfully worshipped their feet. Thereafter, they took Narottam to the house of Mahaprabhu. When Sri Vasu and Janava were told of Narottam's arrival, they eagerly requested that he be brought to the interior of the house immediately. Entering the room, Narottam felt himself extremely fortunate and worshipped the feet of the two Ishwaris, then bowed to the lotus feet of Sri Virabhadra. Upon seeing Narottam, Sri Vasu and Janava could not conceal their overwhelming love for him. "The title Mahasaya is rightly attributed to him," they said. Out of affection, they kept Narottam with them for 4 days, and all of the devotees of Kardaha came to meet him. Sri Vasu, Janava, and Virachandra could not bear to be separated from him for a moment. The all-knowing Sri Janava Thakurani privately spoke to Narottam and ordered him to go to Nilachala soon. At the time of Narottam's departure, Mahesh Pandit and others embraced Narottam again and again and also advised him to go to Nilachala. Crying, Narottam bowed to their feet and took his leave. The devotees accompanied him for some distance. Then, after pacifying Narottam, they returned home. He who attentively hears this narration of Narottam's journey in Golda will have his desires fulfilled. So listen carefully as I, Sri Narahari Das, narrate Narottam Vilas. The fourth Vilas. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Chai, and all the devotees of the Lord. Please shower your mercy upon this poor soul. All glories to the all-merciful listeners. Now listen attentively as I narrate this episode of Narottam Vilas. As Sri Thakur Mahasaya Narottam began his journey to Nilachala, his mind was filled with loving thoughts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. With due reverence, Narottam chose to take the same road which had formerly been traveled by Sri Chaitanya Chandra himself. At night, Narottam halted at the same villages which the Lord had chosen as his resting place, and also discussed topics of Krishna with the local people, just as Mahaprabhu had done previously. When Narottam happened to meet someone who had personally met Mahaprabhu, he could not check his emotions and cried uncontrollably. Everyone who met Narottam was extremely pleased and immediately began glorifying him. Sri Krishna Chaitanya is the most merciful and loving incarnation. Only one who is his great devotee is capable of displaying such divine attributes as we see in this handsome young man. Just see how gracefully he walks, and how comforting it is to one's eyes to simply glance upon his face. Speaking in this way, the people became enchanted by the presence of Narottam. In the morning, when it was time for Narottam to resume his journey, crowds of local people swarmed around him, following along behind him as he walked. Narottam was unable to disperse the crowd, but eventually with sweet words he bade them farewell and continued his journey, halting only in those places where Mahaprabhu had personally performed his divine pastimes. Narottam became ecstatic upon reaching the place where Nityananda Prabhu had broken the sannyas stick of Sri Chaitanya. He listened intently as the local people described this incident. Then, after expressing his gratitude to those persons, he continued along his way. An aged brahmana, who was a great Vaishnava scholar, happened to pass Narottam on the road. Observing Narottam's devotional mood, suddenly something came to his mind. He slowly approached Narottam and asked mildly, "Oh, what is your name, my son? From where are you coming?" Upon hearing Narottam's reply, the brahmana's suspicion was confirmed. With tears of ecstasy rolling down his face, the brahmana warmly embraced Narottam, saying, "For so long I have heard about you, and I was cherishing the hope of one day meeting you. Today Providence has shown its mercy upon me. I have just come to Kshetra, where I receive the mercy of those associates of Mahaprabhu who are still alive in Nilachala, and now I have luckily found you here. With great pleasure I heard them describe your glories while I resided there. I heard that you were bringing books from Vrindavan to Golda, but unfortunately they were stolen along the way. I also heard that you would soon be coming to Kshetra, and everyone was eagerly waiting for you." Gopinathacharya Kashi Mitra explained that Mahaprabhu had called for you when he visited the village of Ramakeli. At that time, Nityananda and other devotees were very happy, and since they have all been eagerly waiting for you. Today I have received the good fortune to meet you personally. But now you must not delay. Go as quickly as possible to Kshetra, and I shall meet you there later." At that time, the Brahmana's son arrived there. He introduced his son to Narottam and ordered him to accompany Narottam to Kshetra. The Brahmana then happily bade them farewell, and Narottam took the dust of the feet of the Brahmana to his head and started his journey with the son of the Brahmana. Upon reaching Kshetra, Narottam and his companion observed the beauty of Lake Narendra. Remembering the Lord's pastime sporting within the water there, Narottam was unable to hold back his tears. He quickly took his bath and hurried off towards the Lion's Gate. At that time, Sri Gopinathacharya and other devotees were also walking towards the singer door. While walking, Sri Sikhi Mahiti said to Mangaraj, "I can't understand why my mind is leaping with joy." And Kanai Kuntia said, "I don't understand what is about to happen, but it is evident from the auspicious omens that something wonderful is awaiting us." Gopinathacharya told Vaninath, "I think we are going to meet Narottam here soon." As they were speaking in this way, the Brahmana's son approached them and informed them of Narottam's arrival. Who can describe the devotee's jubilation upon receiving this news? The Brahmin boy then rushed back to Narottam and helped him to identify the devotees who were approaching from a distance. Seeing all the devotees, Narottam was overwhelmed with emotion. He immediately fell on the ground, bowing to their feet. With tears streaming from his eyes, Gopinathacharya ran to greet Narottam and embraced him affectionately. Later, when Narottam had calmed down, they took him to the temple to see Sri Jagannath. After entering through the Lion Gate, Narottam first bowed before Sri Nrisimhadeva. Upon seeing Sri Jagannath along with Sri Balaram and Sri Subhadra sitting on their thrones, Narottam was filled with ecstatic emotions. Sri Padmalochan, Sri Jagannath, benevolently bestowed his mercy upon Narottam. The priest of Sri Jagannath, understanding the mind of the Lord, brought Sri Jagannath's garland and offered it to Narottam. Narottam was unable to control his emotions and wept incessantly. After pacifying Narottam, Gopinathacharya took him to his house. There he instructed one experienced person to accompany Narottam to the samadhis of the departed associates of the Lord. Thereafter, he informed everyone of Narottam's arrival to Nilachala and brought varieties of Mahaprasad in the temple for him. Meanwhile, Narottam came across some persons who were talking to one another in this way. "Oh, alas, Nilachala has now become the abode of misery. All the associates of Sri Govardhachandra are gradually departing from this world. Sri Gopinathacharya and other great Vaishnavas have become lean and weak." Someone else said, "I recently visited Gopinath, and I cannot describe what I saw there. Unable to bear the misery of separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Mama Goswami is practically lifeless. He is lying emaciated in a lonely corner. I am afraid that he will die soon." Overhearing this conversation, Narottam's heart ached with misery. Narottam then traveled on to have darshan of Tota Gopinath. The vision of the beautiful Lord with his shining black complexion seated upon his throne could easily defeat the pride of Cupid. Narottam, deeply moved, lay prostrate before the deity, crying. Seeing him, the priest offered him the Lord's garland. Narottam and his escort then went to see the seat of Sri Pandit Goswami. He fell on the ground before the seat, and again the priest gave him a garland. Crying uncontrollably, Narottam lamented, "O Gadadhar Pandit Goswami Prabhu, how unfortunate I am for not having the opportunity to see you." Narottam's pathetic crying could melt even wood or stone. Sri Mama Goswami, who had been lying in a half-unconscious state crying, suddenly got up and, heaving a heavy sigh, asked, "Oh, who is crying?" They replied, "Narottam has arrived from Goda." Upon hearing the name of Narottam, he broke out in a flood of tears and embraced Narottam emotionally. Unable to control himself, Mama Goswami fell on the ground. An outcry of anguish arose from the devotees in the temple of Gopinath. By the grace of the Lord, Mama Goswami gradually calmed down and everyone was pacified. Though Goswami's life was in a precarious state, he was exceedingly happy to see Narottam and asked about his well-being. Hearing Narottam's sweet words, Mama Goswami became extremely moved by Narottam's sweet words and thus dedicated Narottam to the feet of Totagopinath and ordered him, "Go to the tomb of Haridas Thakur. Gopinath Acharya is waiting for you there." Without delay, Narottam and his escort went to the tomb of Haridas Thakur on the seashore. He was so shaken to see the tomb that no one could pacify him. Eventually, the Vaishnava in charge of the Samadhi managed to slightly console Narottam and sent him to Gopinath Acharya's house. Gopinath Acharya was a very warm-hearted person. With tender words, he encouraged Narottam to sit peacefully by his side and told him, "Everyone here is greatly eager to see you. Take some rest now, and afterwards you can meet all the devotees." How can I describe the state of mind of the residents of Nilakala? Due to the Lord's disappearance, they had given up eating, drinking, and sleeping. They lived only in hopes of seeing Narottam. Thus, when they actually saw Narottam approaching their houses, they eagerly rushed out to greet him. As Narottam's escort introduced each devotee, they affectionately embraced him, and Narottam touched their feet. Thereafter, they went to the house of Gopinath, who lovingly offered them seats. Everyone had questions to ask Narottam, and he answered them all, reporting everything in detail. Thereafter, Gopinath Acharya requested the devotees to relish Mahaprasad along with Narottam. After washing their mouths, they returned to their houses and requested Narottam to take some rest. When it was time to go to the temple, Narottam got up and took his bath, and Kanai Kuntiya took him to the temple of Jagannath. Narottam remained there throughout the afternoon, observing all three Arati ceremonies, one after another. He and Kanai Kuntiya then returned to the house of Gopinath Acharya. No one wanted to give up Narottam's association, but on the order of Acharya, they took their leave. Gopinath, whose affection for Narottam was beyond compare, then requested him to take rest. After Narottam went to bed, Gopinath also entered into his room. However, Narottam's mind was too agitated, and he was unable to sleep. Yet after some time, by the wish of the Lord, he finally fell asleep, and in his dream he saw his worshipful Lord Gauranga and all the devotees dancing in front of the chariot of Sri Jagannath. He saw Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, Srivas, Murari Gupta, Govinda, Haridas, Kasi Mishra, Ramananda Roy, Vasudeva Govinda, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Kashishwara, Jagadish Pandit, Vasu Ghosh, Mukunda Madhava, Vakrishwara, Govinda Das, Mahesh Pandit, Damodar, Swarup Goswami, Sukalambar Brahmachari, Gadadhar Yadu, Sri Kansari, Sridhar, Suryadas, Ramai Sundar, Dhananjaya, Ramananda Vasu Ghosh, Sankar, Sanjaya, Lokanath, Bhugarbha, Sri Rup, Sanatan, Sri Diva, Gopalabhata, Krishnadas Brahmachari, Pandit Raghava, Paramananda Bhattacharya, Acharya Madhava, Raghunath, Raghunath Bhatta, Sri Tapananisha, King Sri Prataparudra, Gopinath Acharya, and Sri Sikhi Mahidi, and so many other associates of the Lord. He saw them all together dancing ecstatically. He saw all of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees from Goda, Raj, Utkala, and South India performing pastimes with the Lord. Who could describe the extraordinary, captivating beauty of this scene? Sri Goda Chandra danced in the middle, surrounded by all of his devotees. Inspired by the Lord's presence, the devotees performed ecstatic sankirtan, joyfully dancing, singing, and playing musical instruments. The atmosphere was so divine that even the demigods came down from their heavenly abode to enjoy the Lord's pastime. As the sound of sankirtan penetrated the air, the entire three worlds began to float on waves of happiness. Huge crowds of people eagerly pushed forward to get a glimpse of the Lord's beautiful dancing as the demigods showered flowers from all directions. Flowers profusely fell on the lotus head of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even the lame, the blind, and the deaf suddenly forgot their handicaps and dashed forward to join in the sankirtan. Even stone-hearted persons wept in joy upon hearing the melodious chanting. Even the animals and birds became restless. Standing in the corner, Narottam joyfully watched this wonderful scene with tears rolling down his cheeks. Seeing Narottam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, entranced, grabbed hold of Narottam's hands and said mildly, "You must manifest a new type of kirtan which will have the potency to mesmerize the people. Through your songs and music, you should explain my pastimes and mission. Don't worry about anything. All your desires will be fulfilled. Now please go to Goda as soon as possible and preach the glories of devotional service. Those who are fortunate enough to take shelter in you will receive the most precious wealth of love of God. Soon you will link up with Ramachandra, the son of Chiranjeeva Sena. What else can I say? I shall always take care of you." All the devotees of the Lord were extremely happy to see Lord Chaitanya shower his mercy so profusely upon Narottam. Nityananda, Advaita Gadadhar Haridas, Sarvabhauma, Ramananda Roy, Srivas, Bhakrishwara, and others embraced Narottam very tightly. Narottam fell on the ground in a pool of tears. Mahaprabhu's devotees consoled Narottam and advised him to go to Gora. Suddenly, Narottam awoke with a heavy heart. Somehow he managed to calm himself and hastily finished his morning duty. Afterwards, Gopinathacharya sent him a Sukhimuhiti to see Sri Jagannath's Arati. As soon as Narottam began to think about going to Goda, Lord Jagannath's garland fell from his neck, and the priest gave Narottam that garland. Narottam considered this the Lord's indication to him to leave at once for Goda. After bowing to the feet of Jagannath, he went to the house of Gopinathacharya, and before Narottam could say anything, Gopinath said, "The Lord has ordered you to go to Goda, I can understand." Thus, after consulting with the other Mahantas of Sri Kshetra, a date was fixed for Narottam's departure. When Narottam was about to leave, the devotees held his hands and said happily, "We eagerly waited to meet you for so long. Now our dreams have finally been fulfilled. We are also hoping to have the good fortune to meet Srinivasacharya, and perhaps someday you will have the darshan of the exalted Dukhi Krishnadas, who is now called Samananda." Saying this, they began to weep. Hearing their loving words, Narottam was also moved to tears. After assigning an escort to accompany Narottam, they reluctantly bade farewell. Narottam began his journey along with his escort, who carefully carried a basket of Mahaprasad. With a heavy heart and tear-filled eyes, Narottam traveled until reaching Narendra Lake. There he met the Brahmana and his son, whom he had met upon arriving at Kshetra. Narottam took the dust of his feet to his head, and the Brahmana embraced him, saying, "Oh, my dear Narottam, you are more dear to me than my very life. I knew that you would be passing by today on your way to Goda, so I finished my duties as quickly as possible. Now, by the mercy of Jagannath, you have come. If I would have missed you, I would have been burned in the fire of my own way to Goda. So I finished my duties as quickly as possible. Now, by the mercy of Jagannath, you have come. If I would have missed you, I would have been burned in the fire of my own sorrow." He did not want to let Narottam go, but he had to. He blessed Narottam and walking along with him, begging again and again to come with him. But Narottam could not consent. Narottam then started walking swiftly. He took rest for 2 days at Yajapur and then on to Nisringapur. Someone who spotted him rushed ahead and informed Samananda that Sri Thakur Mahasaya was coming from Kshetra. Samananda was overwhelmed with ecstasy. Hurriedly, he and his men rushed to greet Narottam. Seeing each other, they were both overcome with emotion and wept and bowed to each other continuously. Narottam held Samananda so tightly to his bosom and did not want to be separated from him. Those who observed their meeting were amazed. Someone said, "Oh, how incredible. I have never seen anything so wonderful in my life." Another person commented, "Oh, how lucky I am to see Narottam, for whom I was waiting for such a long time." Someone else said, "Will we be so fortunate as to see a Acharya Thakur once in our life?" Another person answered, "Certainly Srinivasacharya will bestow his mercy upon us." Even the villagers came running to see Narottam. Although Samananda arranged a solitary house for Narottam, still the people came to see him in his house. Those persons who had the extraordinary good fortune to receive Narottam and Samananda's association and mercy were fortunate beyond compare. the entire country became blessed by contact with Sri Samananda. Sri Narottam Das Thakur happily bathed and performed his other duties. Afterwards, he sat down with Samananda, who slowly informed Narottam, "A few days ago, Acharya Thakur left Varnavishnupura for Rajagram. Yesterday afternoon, I received this letter. Please look at it." Narottam cried joyfully and happily read the letter with the utmost care. Samananda then explained, "He sent another letter along with Mahaprasad from Sri Ambika." Again, Narottam's heart surged with happiness, and he praised Samananda for his good fortune. Touching the Mahaprasad to his head, he ate some of it and became mad with joy. Sri Thakur Mahasaya ordered his men, "Bring the Mahaprasad of Sri Jagannath," and gave some of it to Samananda. Narottam then carefully explained to Samananda, "The associates of Lord Chaitanya who are still alive in Alaska are now suffering greatly due to the miserable fire of separation. I cannot describe their condition. Only due to the Lord's desire they are still alive. They are simply waiting to see you. So please do not make delay. Start from Alaska at once. After touching the feet of the devotees there, go to Utkala and benedict the people there by distributing the sublime treasure of pure devotional service. After some time, I will send you a letter requesting you and your men to go to Kaitri." Samananda and Narottam stayed together a few more days. Meanwhile, the entire village came to know Samananda and Narottam's imminent departure. Who could describe the sadness at the time of their separation? All of Samananda's disciples cried miserably, especially Rasika Murari, who could not stop crying. Sri Thakur Mahasaya affectionately embraced him and was extremely loving and merciful to all those who had taken shelter at the feet of Samananda. Narottam blessed all of them and then started for Goa. At this point, Samananda helplessly broke out in tears, and no one could pacify him. Thereafter, with a heavy heart, Samananda began his journey to Nilakala. I have described Samananda's journey to Nilakala and Bhakti-Natnakara. Please listen attentively as I, Narahari, narrate Narottam's life. The fifth Sila. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, our greatest Prabhu and all the devotees. Please bestow your mercy upon this poor soul. All glories to the merciful listener. Now listen attentively as I continue my narration. When Narottam arrived at the famous village of Srikhan in Gora, someone spotted him approaching the house of Sakar Thakur and rushed ahead to announce his arrival. A very attractive man with a magnificent gait is coming this way, along with four other persons. Most likely he is coming from the Lakshala. Thakur immediately understood that it was none other than Narottam. Seeing Narottam in the distance, Sri Raghunandana rushed on to greet him. When the local people informed Narottam about Raghunandana, he happily fell on the ground, offering obeisances as Raghunandana approached him running. Raghunandana immediately embraced Narottam. Speechless with emotion, he cried uncontrollably. Gradually, he managed to calm himself and quickly took Narottam to his house. There Narottam saw Sri Sakara Thakur and fell at his feet. Though Sakara Thakur was sunk in the ocean of sorrow due to separation from the Lord, when he saw Narottam, he was overwhelmed with joy. He took Narottam in his lap and tearfully told him, "I am so happy to see you. In Mahaprabhu's absence, he will distribute love of God to you. Many fallen souls will take shelter in you, and you will spread the Lord's ecstatic message by manifesting a new type of kirtan. In this way, all your desires will be fulfilled by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Do not worry about anything. You should go to Kaitri via Yajigram, as Srinivasacharya recently returned from Varnavishnupura and is eagerly waiting for you there. He is constantly thinking about you. Yesterday he came here, but he returned to his house on the same day. After that, he asked Narottam about Sri Chaitra, and Narottam vividly recorded everything, which filled Sakara Thakur with ecstatic emotions. Checking his sentiments, Thakur ordered Sri Raghunandana to take Narottam to the courtyard of Gauranga. Upon seeing the beauty of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Narottam could not control himself and fell on the ground in a pool of tears. The priest tried to console him by offering the garland from the deity. Having heard of Narottam's arrival, The inhabitants of Sukkot eagerly gathered in the courtyard of Goranga to greet and praise Naratan. Naratan then took some Mahaprasad to the house of Sri Sakara and asked Raghunandana to offer it to Sri Sakara Thakur. He became ecstatic upon eating the prasad of Sri Jagannath. He then ordered Sri Raghunandana to distribute the Mahaprasad to all the devotees. Thus everyone relished the prasad while absorbed in memories of Sri Goranga Mahaprabhu and his pastimes in the Lakshala. Thereafter they sat together and enjoyed discussions about Sri Krishna. In this way the devotees happily treasured Narottam's association and could not even think of being separated from him. In the morning Narottam finished his daily duties, took darshan of Sri Goranga, and went to meet Sakara Thakur. With deep feeling and gravity, Thakur looked at Narottam and said, "How peaceful it is to look upon your face. I shall not have this opportunity a second time." Narottam could not bear this sad thought and fell at Thakur's feet, crying. Sri Thakur embraced Narottam and bade him farewell. Narottam bowed to the feet of all the inhabitants of Sukkot and began his journey. Sri Raghunandana, not wanting to leave Narottam's company, walked along with him to some distance. He then appointed one man to accompany Narottam to Yajigram and tearfully said goodbye. Upon reaching Yajigram, the escort pointed to one house and said, "That is the house of Srinivasacharya where he teaches his students." In the meantime, someone reported to Acharya that Sri Thakur Mahasaya had come from Sri Kshetra. Srinivasacharya at once got up and hurried towards the door when Narottam suddenly entered the house. Seeing each other, their hearts leapt with joy and both of them burst into tears. Narottam fell at Acharya's feet and Acharya lovingly embraced him. Who can understand the nature of such exalted personalities? Although physically two different persons, they were of such like minds that they felt as if they were one. When they had calmed down, they sat and conversed together intently. In the meantime, a learned brahmana who had come from Kshetra in hopes of studying the books of the Goswami arrived there. He politely submitted himself before Srinivas